Turn and open your New Testaments, please, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, the brother to the passage that was just read in Mark chapter 9. Martin, thank you very much for a very beautiful prayer, thoughtful. And John, insightful, brother. Thank you for the time you spent on that. Isn't it a pretty picture that as they sat there at the Passover with the Lord, there was no need to prepare a lamb because the lamb was there. The lamb had been prepared. Blessed be the name of our God. In Matthew chapter 17, there's a story about Jesus. And I preface this by saying, last week we walked on water. We were water walkers. We're on the ocean with a group of fishermen, the disciples of Jesus. The beach. And now I'm going to take you up the mountain where I like to be. In the mountains. To witness something quite fantastic. This is an important story. It's an important story for us. It's called the Transfiguration. Now that word means a change in form or appearance, an exalting or a glorifying, a spiritual change. Here's what happens. Jesus has told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to die. Now look, they cannot fathom that. They can't understand that. How can their king be going to Jerusalem where he's supposed to reign and die? How does that work? Jesus is fully aware of what awaits him. He knew that he was going to die a horrific, a humiliating, and a painful death. And we must remember that even though Jesus is God, in the flesh, he was God in the flesh. He was fully human. He faced temptation just like we do. He felt hunger just like we feel hunger. And the stripes he received, and the nails that tore into his hands, the nails that were driven into his feet, it hurt. It hurt like it would hurt us. He didn't look forward to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, he recognized how horrifying it would be. But in order that God's will was obeyed, he resolutely faced death. He recognized the adversity that his disciples would face and how difficult it would be for them. So after telling them that he must go to Jerusalem to die, he takes Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain, and they're alone there by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents. I'll make them here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright light, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And there was a voice that came from that cloud. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces. They were terrified. But Jesus came and he touched them as he was so accustomed to doing. And what a touch that must have been. He touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." Just an absolutely fabulous text. And as I sat down and I thought about this, I asked myself this question, which is typical for me. For whose benefit did this transfiguration occur? Was it for Jesus? Was it for Peter and James and John? Was it for us? And I will tell you that based upon what I read and I study, the answer is all of the above. Jesus needed the transfiguration experience as he prepared for this difficult road that he was going to have to face. He needed that. He needed the closeness to the Father. He needed to hear the Father's voice. He needed to feel the Father's presence. And I'll tell you that Peter, James, and John, they needed it too. Because what they needed a glimpse of who Jesus really was. Who he really is. And after that, there was no question. And today, we need these truths in this story to teach us how to live as faithful disciples, even as we face adversity. If there's anything that we've learned about the future, it is certain that we will face adversity. You young people that are here, that may be in high school or in college, you young adults, listen to me as I tell you this. You are certain to face adversity. It will come. Now, we know this on a national level here in the United States of America. Our leaders have told us that we will continue to experience terrorist activity. It's not a matter of if. They say it's a matter of when. Our country's going to face adversity. It's also true on a personal level. You're going to face adversity at some time. No matter how good things are right now in your business, no matter how profitable you are, no matter how wonderful it is, you are going to face difficult challenges and difficult times in that business. And no matter how good your marriage is, or how, no matter how great you think it is, or how great it could be, there will be times when you're going to have off-road moments. Believe me. And it's going to be tough. There's going to be rough patches. I was always told by my mom, you're going to have to watch out now because there might be a rough patch there. Might be a patch full of briars there you're going to have to navigate through. No matter how great things are for you spiritually now. And you may think that you're as close to God as you've ever been. And no matter how close to God you feel, there will be times in the future where His presence is not so intuitive. When you struggle with sin, when you struggle with the will to obey, there's going to be times, folks, whenever it's going to really hurt to obey. It's going to hurt to do the right thing. I'll tell you, it's a fact of life. We will all face times of adversity. Some of us can see it right now on the horizon. You can see it. The vision is clear. The threat is clear. But either way, we all know how, and we all need to know how, and we all must consider how to prepare for it, to practically prepare for it. When soldiers first enter into the service, what's the first thing they do? They go to boot camp, don't they? Why is that? That's to prepare them to be fighting Marines. To prepare them to serve in combat. When athletes go to spring training, and when athletes do two-a-days during the spring, why do they do that? They do that for the competition that they know they're going to face. We need to learn, ladies and gentlemen, to get away. I've tried to weave this theme into my preaching a lot here recently because I really do believe that this is an issue that 95% of the people that we come in contact with and our brethren have to deal with. We have to learn to get away. We have to learn to slow down in this crazy world that we're living in. We've got to learn to stop before things get too bad. We need to learn to stop to get God's perspective on things. We need to listen for His instruction. And today, from where you sit, maybe you can see the storm in the distance. You can see it on the horizon. It's time to prepare for that rough patch. Today is the day. It's time to prepare for the rough decisions, the tough decisions. The story of the transfiguration of Jesus shows me, and I hope it shows you, how to prepare. These are very simple principles, I believe, but more powerful than you could ever imagine. What it is that God Almighty was trying to teach these disciples. And what He's trying to teach us. So I believe that the Bible suggests three things. Number one, we've got to learn to get alone with God. Jesus went up on this high mountain, just Himself and His three closest disciples, to spend alone time in the presence of God. But listen, Jesus was very typical of Him that He would leave the group and go up the mountain alone and pray. Stop. Meditate. Luke's gospel said He went up the mountain to pray specifically. Now, I don't know how you are about this, but I can tell you, y'all hear about my shortcomings all the time because when I preach these sermons, you know, I'm trying to come up with something that's going to help me. I know that may sound selfish to you. I don't mean it to be. But when I'm facing adversity, what do you think my inclination is, ladies and gentlemen, to pray more or to pray less? It's to pray less. Maybe subconsciously, I think I'm getting what I deserve. Have you ever felt that way? Or maybe in my arrogance, I think I can handle it on my own. I can deal with this myself. I got this. Regardless, my first inclination at the sight of a storm is to pray less, not more. And of course, that inclination is wrong. And I've learned to remind myself when adversity rears its ugly head, and it will. My first reaction must be to talk to God. My first reaction must be to slow down, to slow my mind down, to take a deep breath, to stop for just a minute and talk to God. Just speak to your Father the way that you would speak to your earthly father. Share with Him the fears and the hurt that you have. Let me just say, Maybe you say, God, this is a tough decision. I don't want to have to make it. Give me the strength to do the right thing. Give me the frame of mind to know what to say, to how to feel, what to do. Maybe you say, God, I'm struggling with the will to obey in regard to some principle that you've taught. Give me the strength to do the right thing. God, I'm tempted to take the easy way out. Oh, listen, there's going to be a lot of things in life that you're going to face that there's a really easy out for. But it's not the right path. Tempted to take the easy way out, give me the strength to do the right thing. The first defense in facing adversity, and I believe this, is to get away from the grind of life. I was so proud of the boys, the young men, forgive me, in this church who got together and went out and froze to death this weekend with all their guns and shooting and fellowshipping and eating no telling what. Probably a lot of things they ought not eat. Junk food. Enjoying each other's company. I told Alex, I said, I'm going to go out there with you one of these days here pretty soon. I said, it didn't work out for me this time, but I said, if it's in the wintertime, I'm going to have to bring, you know, a stack of blankets and maybe an electric compressor or something. You know, I'm not too much on roughing it. Get away from the grind of daily life like they did. And just get alone with God. Well, why is that such a difficult thing for us to grasp? I think it's because of this world, this electronics world that we live in. I don't know, but maybe we need to get away for a week. Maybe a weekend, maybe an afternoon. You know, Mama has to deal with Dad's issues that he's having right now. And I tell her, I say, Mama, you know, everybody needs to have an afternoon or a day or something to where you can just get your mind off of that. You know, just go get your nails done, you know, or go get your hair done. Or I don't care what you do, you know, go to the mall or whatever. Go to coffee or get together with some folks and slow down and clear your head. And maybe just 15 minutes, Mom. And, you know, God love her. She says, no, I think I need to be here with you, Daddy. Well, there's two lessons there. Boy, that's commitment, isn't it? If you've ever dealt with anyone with Alzheimer's, you recognize how much of a commitment that is. She would rather sacrifice herself than to leave him for a minute, but I will continue to work on that issue. And when she listens to this sermon, which she typically does, I will take cover so she doesn't shoot me. But do you understand what it is that I'm trying to say? We all need to slow down. So you ask, well, how long? Well, okay, you ask me how long. I'll tell you how long until you see what the disciples saw. How about that? A glimpse of the glory of God. The Bible says that they went up the mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. The disciples got a glimpse of who Jesus really is. They received clarity. They had an understanding that they were able to grasp. And they saw that he was more than just a teacher. He was more than just a healer. He possessed the radiance, glory of the Almighty God. They saw that. And he also possessed the two key prophets of the Old Testament. They saw that. Moses and Elijah came from the far reaches of eternity into their presence to speak to them. The disciples got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. And in the coming days, they would need that. They would need to cling to that glimpse. They would need to cling to that memory as they see him get arrested. is they see him paraded in front of all Jerusalem. As they see him viciously beaten by Roman soldiers and made fun of by a puppet leader with a purple robe on and a staff in his hand, and to be stripped and mocked and nailed to the cross. You see, they would need to cling to the glimpse as they struggled with their own fears and their own failures. And I also believe the transfiguration occurred not only for them, but for Jesus. There was a sense in which he needed the transfiguration experience to strengthen him and to prepare him for this lonely road to Golgotha. He needed to get along in God's presence. And the Savior of mankind, God the Son, needed to get a glimpse of God, his Father. He needed to see his Father, feel his Father's presence. So are you prepared to face adversity? Are you prepared to take any time out of your schedule to get along with God and to get a glimpse of his glory? Are you prepared at some time during the day, whether it's in the morning or whether it's night or whether it's at lunchtime? I suppose all of you that work have a lunch hour of some kind. Hopefully you don't work through that. But this idea of getting a glimpse of the glory of God, what do I mean by that? Well, within this lesson, I think there are three mountaintop lessons to be learned. We need to learn to meditate on his presence. Now remember, I want you to get this. God Almighty is with you. It don't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're on top of the mountain or if you're down by the sea. It doesn't matter if you're in the valley. It doesn't matter if you're in the water. He's with you. No matter what storms may come your way, I want you to remember what he said. I want you to remember what Scripture teaches us. Never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You know, I see that word never as a human being, and I think to myself, never? That's what it says. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And then he says this, and I think about this, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I am with you always. And as you get along with God, I want you to understand something, folks. This is what he has promised to you. This is what he has given to you. The fact is that you're never going to have to face anything in your life where God is not with you, unless you don't want him there. Now you have that choice. He's with you always. Think about that for a minute. I want you to stop and comprehend that. I want you to stop and listen. You say, well, Steve, you made the point over and over and over. That's because people don't listen. They don't listen to that. They don't listen to stop. I remember when I was in elementary school, stop, look, and listen. You remember that? Stop, look, and listen. I think I liked the lights on the street light more than I did the stop, look, and listen. Love to see that come on as a kid. But that's what they taught us, to stop, look, and listen. We need to stop, we need to listen, and we need to comprehend. You need to meditate on his presence. You know, I hear people all the time, they tell me, well, you know, I want to get deeper in the Lord. You know, I want to grow in the Lord. And what I think brethren have been taught always before, and I'm not saying it's a bad idea, they said, well, you need to read and read and read and read and read. You need to increase your capacity with the Scriptures. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You need to get along with God That's your father. How much do you enjoy? Let me tell you something. You lose a grandfather that you loved and loved to spend time with. You lose a mama. And don't you wish you could go back to that mama and just spend a little bit of time in her presence? Wouldn't that be great? That's where we fall. I think we need to meditate on His power. Your arm, Psalms teaches us, is endued with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand is exalted. When you're feeling weak and helpless, and you're feeling sorry, and sorry for yourself, and just in all kinds of turmoil, I want you to understand that God is not in turmoil, and that God is not weak, and that God is not powerless. And what we need to do when we find ourselves in that situation is meditate on His power. Easily said, isn't it? Meditate on the work that He is doing in your life. And then third, I would tell you this. Meditate on His purpose. He has a purpose for you, and He has a purpose for me. How many of you think that God Almighty has a purpose for you? He has a purpose. He's got that planned out. Okay. He has a purpose. He got purpose for Robert. He's got a purpose for Mike. He's got a purpose for Daniel and for Muffy and for Ashy and for Kate and for Thomas and for all of you. The adversity that you feel is not meaningless. Jesus didn't face the cross simply because events spun out of control. There was reason to His suffering. And I'm going to tell you, there's reason for yours and there's reason for mine when we suffer. There is a reason. I believe that with all of my heart. God is doing a work in your life, and the storms you face are a necessary chapter. Peter said, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Who do you think he's talking to? Stop and think about this. Grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is greater worth than gold, may be proved genuine. How many of you think it's a blessed thing to go through some of the nightmare trials that you're having to deal with right now? You think that's a great thing? That's a wonderful thing? Most of us would say, well, I don't think it's too wonderful. Well, let me tell you, I believe that's the message that God Almighty has given us right now. I don't know why it is that certain people have to deal with horrible disease and why certain people have to deal with their mom and daddy dying young and all of those kinds of things like that. I don't know why anybody would have to deal with their dad, who you think is the smartest guy you ever met in your life, being reduced to a 5-year-old. I don't know why. But I know what the Scripture teaches. And what the Scripture teaches is, these have come so that your faith, which is greater and is worth more than gold, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You want to get deep, grow in your faith? Put your arms around that. And so we need to meditate on His presence, on His power, and on the purpose at work in your life. Now back to the main points. Number two, we need to listen to God. After you open your heart and pour it out before Jehovah our God, you need to get to the point where, which is difficult for me, and obviously it was difficult for Peter, you need to stop talking, start listening. Why? So that you can get His perspective on your situation. When Peter got a glimpse of the glory of God, what's the first thing he did? Well, Lord, if it's good for us to be here, if you wish, I'll put up these shelters and they'll be real nice. I'll set them up for everybody here. And so, you know, and I love Luke's comment on this. If you go back to Luke, I just think this is hilarious. If you'll look at verse 33, he didn't know what he was saying. He was just spouting off at the mouth. He just got a little ahead of God. And this is what I think. He probably thought, well, worshiping Jesus on this mountain, that's a lot more enjoyable than going to Jerusalem and watching you die. I think I like it better up here. So let's just stay here forever. How many of you know about the Dry Creek camp that Muffy and I go to? Maybe some of you, many of you here, maybe have served. And I know there's some folks here that go to the Texas camp and all that, for which we are very thankful and excited about. But I got to tell you something. When we go to camp, there's some things about that we don't want to end. We want to just keep on going, okay? Well, what would that be for me? Well, the phone's not ringing, even though I have to check my email and my voicemail once a day because of the position that I hold in the company, which I wish I could throw it in the nearest lake, if you want to know the truth. But the fact of the matter is, the phone's not ringing. Number two, there's no interruption. People aren't bickering with one another, which is what we have to deal with a good bit. And there isn't any drama in terms of your job, okay? But I'm here to tell you something. It can't last because we are not called to a perpetual camp. That's not what we're called to. We are called to the day in grind of this world that we have been introduced to. Now, Peter's idea sounded real good to him. There ain't no doubt about that. But he didn't have God's perspective on the situation, you see. But he got God's perspective real quick. While he was still speaking. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I was in the doctor's office the other day, and I was sitting there, and I thought I had this all figured out, what my situation was, okay, what my medical condition was and all that. So I said, hey, doc, and I know him real well. Hey, doc, if you don't mind, let me just tell you. And so he stops what he's doing, and he looks at me. And so I go into all of this about what I think is going on with my body and everything. He just sits there and looks at me. And I get completely through with my explanation to him. And this is what he does. Now, let me tell you about I sat there and gave him all my thoughts on the situation. He didn't even recognize what it is that I said because what I said was probably really stupid. And then he started to speak about my medical condition. Well, that's the same thing. While Peter is speaking, except there's a much greater and more powerful doctor. While Peter was still speaking, a cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son that I love, and with him I'm well pleased." Powerful. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. Wasn't no more talking. They were just listening. I've always wondered, maybe you know the reason, why were they terrified? I mean, they knew Jesus loved them. And of course they knew God Almighty loved them. Why were they terrified? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think if you ever heard the audible voice of Jehovah, you'd be scared too. In fact, I think you'd hit the ground. In fact, I know I'd hit the ground. I thought I've heard it before, and I hit the ground. But I believe that the words that God spoke helped them to realize what Jesus had been saying all along, that what he was saying was true, and that they needed to listen, that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified. And I think finally, in their thick skulls, the realization of this sunk in, and they were overcome with fear. Now, right after God told Peter and James and John to listen to Jesus, what is the very next thing that the Lord says to them? Do you know? I'm going to put it up here. Get up and don't be afraid. Did you get that? Get up. Don't be afraid. And when we face adversity, or at least for me, the first thing I do is I want to cower down. I want to hide. Sometimes I'm overcome with fear. And Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us, all of us today, get up. Don't be afraid. You can do this. I'm with you. Get alone with God. Spend some time with God. Open up your heart to him. And then open your ears and listen to him. And don't be afraid. There's no reason for you to be afraid. Everything is fine. Get alone with God. Listen to God. And then wait on God. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." What I want you to notice is that Jesus reminds them that there will be a resurrection. And what he's saying is, yes, it's true. These are my words. I will face adversity. Yes, it's true. I must go to Jerusalem and be killed. And yes, it's true that that's not the end of the story. There will be a resurrection, and I will be raised from the dead. Wait until then. And as you face adversity, the same is true for you and me. The storm is not the end of the matter. The story doesn't end with the storm. And it's hard to see that. The story doesn't end in defeat. Christians, you are not defeated unless you want to be defeated, unless you allow yourself to be defeated. In the end, it's victory. It's victory every time. You will face some trials and some tribulations, and some of them are going to be nasty. They're going to be tough. They're going to be difficult. They're going to be horrific. You're going to face them. But on the other side of that adversity is a resurrection with your name on it. This is so important. When I'm preparing for adversity, I must be ready to wait it out until victory comes. Wait on God. Wait for the resurrection. It is a fact of life. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Is that true or is that not true? But if we're prepared, here's the deal. It's a battle you always win. And so I ask the question, well, how do you prepare for that? Get alone with God until you get a glimpse of his glory, until you're confident of his presence and his power and his purpose in your life. Get to know your Father. You can do that through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us to mold us and to make us and to help us become more like the Savior we say we want to be like. Get alone with God. Get alone with God and listen. Listen for him. Listen to him. You will see him in so many different facets of your life. Be open-minded. Open your heart to him. Get perspective on what's happening to you. And you're going to hear encouraging words. They will come to you. There will be encouragement. Get alone, listen, wait on God, don't be afraid. Wait out the storm. there's going to be a new day, and there will be a resurrection. This will end. These difficulties will pass by. And as hard as it is for us to understand how in the world the difficulties could make us better, what the scriptures teach us is that it is our mountaintop lesson. So many things that we have to face. Let's don't go into them anymore with a negative attitude. Let's go into them prepared with a positive attitude that God Almighty is using these things to His glory and to the glory of His plan and to the strengthening of our character. Have you been resurrected with Him this morning? What do I mean by that? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk a new life? Are you a part of the Lord's family? Are you ready to become a soldier for the cross? Are you ready to have the Lord shape you and mold you and make you into that which is fitting in order to be a child of God? My prayer is that if anyone is in this group here this morning who needs to learn more about these things, that you would tell somebody or tell me, and we'll study with you what the Word of God teaches. And if you've got a heart to obey, it's a simple process. But just remember this. Spiritually, you will see adversity. If you think that obeying the gospel of Christ and living a life as a Christian is going to reduce the trials and troubles and heartaches that you have, that would be an incorrect assumption. But you're going to be victorious every time. You're going to win every time. I don't care if it's a heinous cancer. I don't care if mom and dad have passed away in a terrible, horrific situation. From those bad things, God Almighty can bring great things. Just like in the flood. I didn't think anything could be more horrific than that. And yet, God Almighty brought about some of the most wonderful treasures that I've ever seen. The most wonderful lessons that I have ever seen in my life. Get along with God on the mountaintop. Or if you like the sand and the beach, get along with God on the beach. Or get along with God in your room, in your back room, on your knees. Get along with God at lunchtime. Get to know your Father that's in heaven by reading and studying the Scripture, by slowing down and allowing Him to work in you His plan. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing? The church is open.